Hello, and welcome to today's session of Google VetNet Career Week on what an MBA does for you. I'm Annalise Ashdown-Lee. I'm an analytical lead in the education and careers vertical here at Google. I'm very passionate about the ways in which MBA programs can broaden opportunities, provide a tremendously valuable training ground, and really open the aperture through which we see our careers. I graduated from Stanford with my MBA in 2017 and witnessed firsthand many really interesting and life-changing career pivots, quite notably in our veteran community. Today, I have with me a stacked panel of experts in the space from the public sector. We have leaders from the University of Virginia and University of Maryland Global Campus. You'll hear from all of them today, and they'll provide really interesting and unique insight and share more about themselves and their roles. So we'd like to kick it off with some intros. Kristen, would you start us off, please?
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Kristen Byerly, and I'm the Director of Veterans Initiatives and Outreach for University of Maryland Global Campus. I have kind of a soft spot for the military. My dad is a 26-year veteran. My husband is a 30-year veteran. My son is active duty. So I'm all with the Navy, but it's still all services are near and dear to my heart. I really do love working with the veteran community. I started with the university in 2013. As an advisor on the military bases in Hampton Roads, and just love being able to talk to people about these opportunities. I received my MBA from UMGC in 2018, so have kind of a perspective on the journey as well. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Kristen. Brett, I'll pass it over to you.
All right, I'm Brett Twitty. I'm the Managing Director of Admissions for the Professional Degree Programs here at the Darden School of Business. That includes our Executive MBA and Part-Time MBA programs, as well as the Specialized Masters that we offer in partnership with the McIntyre School of Commerce at UVA, a program called the MS in Business Analytics, or MSBA. And I also help out with full-time MBA recruitment and occasionally do interviews for that program, too. So I've been at Darden for about 10 years at this point. I started in February 2015. And veterans and active duty service members are important parts of our MBA communities broadly across all of our programs. And I've learned so much about these communities, service opportunities, branches of the armed services since coming to Darden, and excited to be here for this panel today. Thank you, Annalise.
Awesome. And Tara.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me as well. I am Dr. Tara Jennifer Konya, and I am with the University of Maryland Global Campus as well. I serve as the portfolio director overseeing the MBA and our Masters of Science in Transformational Leadership. The MS in Transformational Leadership is actually one of our unique graduate degree programs specifically designed to support military professionals and veterans as they transition into civilian careers. I am excited to be here today, and thank you.
Thank you all so much. So let's jump into some questions, shall we? Kristen, I think this first one is for you. Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk about the decision to go to business school. In your experience, what key indicators would suggest to someone that now is an opportune time? And conversely, I'd love your thoughts on what flags might suggest that's actually not the best time, at least right now.
I would love to say that it's a checklist. If you've got these, yes. If you've got these, no. But it is not the case. It is very, very personal. It's very individual. And what I have noticed in my years of advising, because I've been doing it for a number of years, the key to advising is you have to listen, because what is a key indicator for one may not be a key indicator for someone else. So it really begins with honesty and transparency. Understanding what it takes to go back to school, even if it's been a while and it's never too late to go back, start with asking, why now? What is it about right now that makes you want to go back to school? Often for students, they want to do it for their children so their kids see it, or for it's an appropriate move for a job advancement. Or even if it's just like, I had one, it was for his mom. It was really sweet. But you have to really start the discussion to find out the thought process. Ask about families, work. Conversations can bring out ideas that you may not have thought of, because it's rarely the perfect time, but it's often the right time. even if it's not perfect. So if a student is hesitating and they're overwhelmed, just listen to what it is that they're overwhelmed about. But it also means that you need to know your programs, because the MBA maybe they're overwhelmed because that's not the right fit. It might be something else. Was speaking with a student just yesterday, and who has a master's in social work, and was talking, well, what do you have? Do you have a DBA in social work? And I said, have you thought about a certificate in project management? And it was just something that can complement what you're doing. And this student's face lit up. It was something that hadn't even crossed their mind to think of something outside of the path that they are in. So it really is important to just listen, talk, know what you have to offer, and find out what's going to be the best fit for that student. Then they're going to realize, is it the right time or is it not the right time?
That's great advice. Thank you. Does anyone else want to chime in there?
I can offer just a few other thoughts. I mean, I think most people, I'm able to pick up on this idea of like, there's no perfect time. Working with working professional students in particular, I think people are looking for a time in their life where everything lines up and syncs up. You know, you've got a lot of commitments. You're thinking about working while pursuing your degree. You've got a family, oftentimes. You've got other personal commitments. And people are looking for a perfect time. And there's really no such thing. I love Kristen's point about, you know, it's always the right time. Sometimes there's just something to be said for just getting started and kind of figuring it out. I think from an admissions standpoint, the hardest thing to prepare someone for when it comes to an MBA program is what it's going to look like for you to do that MBA program in your life from a schedule, a time standpoint. We can give you estimates of how many hours per week and all this kind of stuff. The reality is that's just an average, and it doesn't necessarily speak to what your experience is going to be like. And there's sort of a kind of, I'm going to figure this out, kind of iterative nature to this. And to sort of embrace that and be accepting of that and recognize that like most of these programs are kind of 2 to 3 years, you can figure something out for that amount of time. I think that's important, particularly when you're thinking about doing something like a working professional program or even a full-time program. It's a big life change, but it's always the right time.
Fantastic. Thank you. So Brett, my next question is actually for you. We'd love to hear a little bit more about what various MBA formats are available. So I know it was full-time, part-time, executive, online, specialized. And if you can provide some color on what are the distinct advantages of each of those and how that relates to different career stages too.
Sure. I think at this point in the MBA market, we could probably spend the entirety of this session talking about how many different versions of an MBA there are. I think it also, this is a challenge for a prospective student, right? Because you start doing research and every school does something a little bit different than the other schools. I will say by and large, people, when they look at full-time programs, which are residential programs, they tend to assume sort of broad strokes that those programs are pretty similar to one another. But when you start getting into part-time MBA, executive MBA, online, all these kinds of things, you start to see a lot of difference in terms of schedule and the structure and design of the programs. And so the big challenge for someone in a diverse marketplace like that is to figure out, well, which of this makes sense, which of these options makes sense for you. I think that's important. The important place to start in this is not so much to focus on the market, but rather to focus on yourself and to ask some important questions about what you're looking for in an MBA and how you're thinking about your MBA experience. You know, the first question I think is, you know, do you want to go full time? Do you want to be a fully residential student, or do you want to work while pursuing your degree? That those are two very distinct channels, right? Full time is going to be, you know, typically a relocation to another area, maybe in your own city, but you know, you're going to focus fully on school. Whereas working professional puts you in the part time MBA, executive MBA, maybe an online option. So it helps you segment the market, and that's an important first question. I would say another important question is, you know, method of instruction, right? So say you're not quite sure about, you know, full-time versus working professional. Well, how do you like to learn? You know, what's the best way for you to learn? You know, do you want 100% in person? Do you want some sort of hybrid approach where it's a blend of in-person and online instruction? Or do you want online instruction only, maybe for a schedule reason, or that's the most cost-effective version for you? There are trade-offs to each of these. I don't necessarily think about that as pros and cons, but I think different students learn differently, and being in a kind of program that's structured for how you learn best and how you want to be engaged is an important consideration. The next thing to sort of think about is kind of where you are in your career stage. So, you know, how many years work experience do you have? And you can sort of glean from programs and you look at their class profile, their average years of experience, maybe they'll tell you something around about the middle 80 percentile of their class in terms of years of work experience. But career stage, I think most schools full-time tends to be an earlier career student. Part-time oftentimes is on average, on balance, more of an early career student, whereas executive MBA tends to be a more experienced student. Now, one of the I work a lot with executive MBA students have for my entire time at Darden was common misconceptions about executive MBA programs is that people think you have to be an executive to do these programs. You do not. Although different schools will have different definitions as to who could be a student there, right? They might have different minimum years of work experience. So this is where you're going to have to start digging in a little bit and looking at the admissions requirements. But executive at many schools just means a more experienced student doesn't necessarily have to be an executive. You might have some students who would meet that description, but just more experienced and obviously someone who's working while pursuing their degree. And then the last thing I would think about as you're looking at schools and programs and thinking about things is, you know, what are your career goals and how do those line up with the programs that you're considering? For example, there tends to be a pretty clear delineation in the market between internship and no internship. So full-time MBA students will have an internship as part of their experience. And so if you're thinking about your career goals, do you feel like an internship is going to be necessary for you to make the kind of transition you want to make? A classic example of an industry where if you want to work in the industry, you typically will have to do an internship to land a job is investment banking. That's a pretty common example. But for other people who want to make a career transition, perhaps an internship is not necessary. And so if you're somebody who thinks, okay, I may want to make a switch, but I don't think I need an internship, perhaps a working professional program could be well aligned there. I think one of the things to sort of know is if you're a working professional student, there can be different resources for working professional students versus their full-time counterparts at some schools. Some schools are more focused on, at least in the working professional world, more focused on helping students climb within their organization, may not necessarily have as many resources for students who are looking to switch, change function and or industry. That can sometimes vary from school to school. And so sort of a next order sort of level of research for you is to really try to dig into the resources that are available to working professional students or full-time MBA students. And there tends to be a lot of commonality, I think, across schools in terms of how they think about working with or at least across programs within a school about how they think about working with students. But there can be differential resources because a lot of the, you know, think about it, the full-time students are going to do an internship. They're typically all kind of in a career stage where they're looking for the similar kind of roles. Whereas you look at part-time or MBA or executive MBA, there can be a lot of diversity in terms of years of work experience, kinds of roles, career goals. And so the way that they might work with those students can differ sometimes. So those are a few things, Annalise, that come to mind. I don't know if my other panelists have anything else to add.
I think you covered it very, very well, Brett, where it's a tailored experience based on your individual needs and career goals.
Fantastic, thank you. Tatara, my next question is for you. Let's see, what specific concentrations or tracks does the MBA program that would be of particular relevance to one's military experience and their career goals?
I think, you know, Brett's statement about tailoring your education to your goals aligns perfectly to this next question within the specializations and the tracks, because this is where you can craft the ideal education experience. You know, even going back to what Kristen said about the individual who walked into our office and she was like, hey, have you ever thought of this certification in project management? This is your chance. So within an MBA, and it all depends on the type of program that you are entering in, because they all don't offer this, but you may have a track, you may have a concentration, you may have a specialization. And that is the approach or the way that you can align your ambitions or your skills to truly transition from that military experience into civilian corporate life. So there's five key things. I'm going to give you 5 points that I see are really, really important to really take that deep leadership background from the military and transition it into corporate, civilian, depending on where you want to go. So first, it will 100% align to your career goals. So you could pick something like finance, marketing, nonprofit management. And by picking a specialization, it allows you to dive deep into that area. At UMGC, you get 3 elective credits to go into that specialization, where other universities may give you even more areas of expertise to allow you go even deeper. Some have tracks that are like, you know, even more credit. So it depends, but it gives you that opportunity to support where you want to go professionally. Number 2, it differentiates you on the job market. We all know there's a lot of MBAs out there. It's a very common degree because it's a generalist degree. By having that specialization, it allows you to stand out from others. It then allows you to target those skills. So instead of just saying, I have an MBA, you can now say, I have an MBA with a specialization in cybersecurity management or in data analytics. This gives you that extra edge that you could then put on your resume, put onto LinkedIn, that then gives you that ability to get your foot into the door and speak to your employers. Then it gives you those transferable applied skills. Because you're getting into the classroom, you're getting those additional courses in those skills, you're able to build upon them. You're getting case studies, industry tools, hands-on consulting projects. So you're able to then build on it and speak to them. At UMGC, we actually give you digital credentials as well that you could stack onto your LinkedIn. So there's a lot of different things you can build upon to show, hey, I'm really gaining this expertise. It's not just an MBA. I'm able to come out and say that I can be adaptable. I know what change leadership is. I know what team collaboration is, and I can build and work in your organization. This is what I did in the classroom. This is how I will apply it in a setting in your organization. So they're able to speak in a job interview as well within those experiences. Number 4, it's going to boost your confidence and your competence, because now you've had just, instead of just a general marketing class, you've gone deep into consumer behavior, marketing analytics. You're able to talk a little bit more about what you're learning. You have the confidence to walk into the interview, to lead a team into that new role. It's just so much better on so many different ways. But then when you're talking about it from a military perspective, you know, at UMGC, we value our military learners, and the way we look at our specializations is we look at the skills that you had in the field and how can they benefit you into a career. So 4 that we would actually highlight are human resource management, because you can take your leadership and team development skills, where you now can use organizational behavior, talent strategy, conflict resolution, where you may have been doing this in the field, now you can do it in the real world. Another one is project management. Hands down, most popular. Everyone asks about it. I see Kristen smiling, like everyone's been waiting for this one. MBA in project management. It's a natural fit because you've been responsible for mission planning, logistics, resource coordination. Now you have the courses to do it, and it can even lead to a PNP certification and prepare you for those project leadership roles. Another one that we're really excited about is the cybersecurity management and policy and cybersecurity and technology. Both align really well with intelligence and operation security. These are cross-disciplinary, but it allows you to give you that business context to these frameworks that complement technical expertise. And then last, global business. It's an excellent fit for anyone that's worked across borders, multinational operations. You'll be able to lead diverse teams in complex environments and a global scale. So being able to just translate all of these skills into a specialization is just so important in the military confines of what you were doing and translating it into those civilian skills, which is often lost in that resume. And then last, because I said there were 5, last is expanding your professional network. When you go into these specializations, you're building a network within that specialization. So if it's finance, marketing, data analytics, now you have a nice little cohort of colleagues and professors and industry professionals who are in that same field that you now connect with on LinkedIn outside of the classroom, that you can now connect with and lean on and see what's going on in the industry. You have mentors, you have relationships, and they can help you eventually in the next career. So our students are balancing everything, and now we've balanced even more with these specializations.
Thank you so much, Tara.
You can see the passion with them, and I've had to explain this many times. So,
absolutely. So your fifth point actually leads into the next question I had, which is for Kristen. As you mentioned, Tara, networking is such an important part of career growth. And how can pursuing further education help build that network? And do students find that in-person classes are better for networking versus what an online program might offer? What's your perspective there?
It was a great lead-in. And it really is such a personal preference. And the one thing that is so important is to understand, again, this comes from the communication with the student. And talking to them, I'm amazed at the number that are like, I did that in the military, I don't want to do it outside of the military. So you have to have that conversation of, here's all the skill sets you're bringing in. Do you want to do it? Nope. I mean, I had a Navy SEAL that just wanted to open a coffee shop. That's all he wanted to do. And so you just have to make sure that you are, like I said in the beginning, just talking and listening and understanding exactly what it is that they need. But the online versus the whole networking opportunities, I can say it is a challenge. The world has gotten very, very used to the digital, and it is a personal preference. I happen to like people. I do better around people, but that doesn't mean I haven't been able to find ways to adapt that in an online environment. With my schedule and everything, there's no way I could attend classes in person. It just was not an option. So you find ways to work however it's going to fit with you. Most of our, we've gotten pretty creative, and most of our school is primarily adult learners. And because of that, they have the families. I think we've all talked about that. They've got the obligations. They've got jobs, and just trying to find the time to fit in this education is a challenge enough. And those challenges give all kinds of obstacles. One of the areas that that we really helped with, and it kind of leads ties in with what Tara was saying, is in the online classroom, they have the group projects. And what I found with when I was on my MBA, you connected with people that you kind of had whatever with, whether it was, you know, family or you lived in the same area or anything, you found people that you connected with, and you did kind of create your own cohort. Hey, are you taking the next class? Good. Let's see if we can line up and do it together. And I still keep in touch with some of these people that I connected with in 2018. So it is a great opportunity to be able to develop that connection, even if you're not online or even if you're not in person. It's doable. And in this digital world, it's definitely doable. You just have to figure out, as with all of that we've talked about, what's going to work best for you.
Great. Thank you. Yes. Brett, shifting gears a little bit, I'd like to talk about the ROI of an MBA. So that can vary pretty widely. Let's talk a little bit about how a veteran or a military member should think about the time and monetary investment to pursue further education. So beyond the financial returns of one's career growth, what are some intangible but equally valuable returns on the investment that an MBA might provide, especially to military professionals?
Sure. Well, thinking about the military folks that I speak with, they oftentimes feel a gap between the experience that they've had professionally and the way the world works in the private sector. You know, people are coming from a world where this the next step and the step after that, and the next step after that were really articulated and very well known into a world where things are much more ambiguous, right? If you're leaving the military, moving to the private sector, translating your experience to this world, figuring out your relevant skills, what kind of roles might be of interest, finding a way into these companies can also be challenging. Even though there are veterans channels, it feels like a lot, and it's hard to sort of figure out where to get started. I think the nice thing about an MBA is it gives you a solid grounding in sort of how business works, right? You're going to typically take a core curriculum. You're going to have opportunities to explore, as we talked about, through electives. You're surrounded by a group of people who do something different from what you've done over the course of their career. Maybe, you know, they work in different companies, they work in different industries. So you have a chance to learn from these folks and also to make connections. We talked about the networking aspect, but for many working professional students in particular, if you're looking to make a career transition, say go through the process of separating or retiring from the military, you might actually have classmates who are working at companies that are target companies for you, or you just want to learn a little bit more, in addition to all the alumni networks that you gain by doing these programs. So that's something that I think also is really, really helpful, that sort of exploration aspect, learning about different companies, different industries. Of course, you're doing that in class, but also extracurricularly, as we talked about. I also think there's a credibility that comes with having an MBA. It's not say that people don't have credibility on the basis of their existing experience, but I think our students regularly report to us that by virtue of being a Darden MBA, the world responds differently to them, whether they're applying for a job or they're engaging with people and sharing their ideas. It just hits differently because they have the force of having an MBA behind them. They've obviously gone to a strong MBA program. And so that credibility piece, I think, is also helpful. And you're in a place where you have the resources also to explore what's next for you. We talked about career resources and support. You know, generally MBA programs have career teams. They have coaches you can work with. So many of the veterans that we see are either in the process of separating or recently separated and maybe have started in something, but that's not their forever job. And so they're trying to think about what comes next. And perhaps they want to stay in a defense-related role, but many folks want to do something very different than that. So if you're thinking about a big pivot, that's where, you know, any kind of change, a career team can be helpful, but a big pivot where you need to rearticulate kind of your brand and figure out what skills are fungible and how you share those with a prospective employer, I think that's also something that you can really benefit from being in an MBA program with all that career support and structure around. And then I think, you know, the leadership component, obviously military folks come with a tremendous amount of leadership experience. It's always amazing to me when we interview people who are like, well, I got out of the service academy and all of a sudden I was in charge of 45 people or I was in charge of 100 people. And I mean, that's staggering when you compare it to folks from the private sector who might have had a chance to manage like 3 or 5 people or maybe 10 people before their MBA program. But it is a different kind of leadership that you're learning through an MBA program. It's maybe more leadership by influence, more flat organizations. How do you ultimately, you know, work within that dynamic versus a more hierarchical world? Obviously, the for-profit sector works a little bit different than a not-for-profit world, or how the defense industry functions. And so I think it's just a real, real great chance to sort of get beyond your immediate experience and benefit from all the experience in the room and really expand your aperture is the way I would think about it.
Excellent. And tactically, could you tell us a little bit about what types of financial support are available?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, way to think about this is sort of in terms of like buckets of support. So, for some of our students, perhaps they've saved some money and they have some personal resources that they're going to bring to bear. If you're working while pursuing your degree, of course, this is one of the benefits of doing a working professional program is that you continue to earn a salary alongside pursuing your MBA. There's also, you know, all admitted students pretty sure all of our schools are considered for a scholarship award, generally a merit-based award. Different schools will define merit differently, but it's typically something like GPA, graduate degree, standardized test score, exceptional work experience. Those are all typically things that would bear upon the scholarship process. And if you look at full-time MBA programs, because it's a residential experience, if people are leaving their jobs, you typically see larger scholarship budgets for full-time MBA programs versus working professional programs, which tend to have smaller scholarship budgets. The awards tend to be more modest because, again, working professional students are continuing to work while pursuing their degree. For military folks, obviously you have military benefits, earned benefits that they have. And so it's a tremendous benefit that's available to you. At many schools, it may mean that your out-of-pocket expenses is very, very small. It may mean that all of tuition, most fees might actually be covered. So you want to get into the details with the programs that you're considering, just to kind of figure out what your out-of-pocket expense might be. In addition, depending upon how the program's classified, if you're doing a program as a veteran, you might also receive a housing allowance, which could also help offset some of the expense of the program. And so the military benefits, definitely something you should be spending time with. You should be talking with the folks at the VA, figuring out your percentage eligibility, getting the certificate of eligibility in place so that you're ready to go when you're applying to schools, and having good conversations with admissions folks, and if not the admissions folks, financial aid folks at the schools that you're considering, so you can really have a clear picture of what your out-of-pocket expense might be at that particular school. There's also educational loans through either the federal government or the private sector. Federal government would be U.S. citizens, eligible non-citizens, specifically permanent residents. A private loan you would seek from a private lender. So the educational loans, you know, if you're talking about what people will typically use to pay for an MBA program, it's typically some combination of the direct loan, which previously was called the Stafford loan, which is up to about $20,500 per academic year. And then you also have a Grad PLUS loan that can typically be added to the direct loan up to the full cost of attendance, at least right now. And so those are the buckets I think of. You might also have some employer sponsorship or support occasionally. That varies widely. I think one of the misperceptions I think of working professional programs is that everybody's sponsored. That is not the case. Most of our part-time MBA and executive MBA students are self-funding. I'm talking with prospective students who are saying, well, I'm sure everybody's sponsored, but I'm not going to be sponsored. So how do people pay for this program? And so it always makes me chuckle just a little bit, the perception that people have. Most students are self-funding, but if they do have access to company support, it could be everything from maybe $5,200 per year in professional development funding to maybe something more significant. And the thing to think about if you're in a world where you're considering employer funding is if you take a significant amount of funding, and that can vary from employer to employer, you're typically trading time on the back end, right? So oftentimes, you know, there will be strings attached to any financial support, which if you don't stay after, say, like 2 or 3 years after completing your program, you may have to ultimately pay that employer back for that money. And so again, something you want to get into the details about, understand the commitment. And I would say there's definitely students who turn down employer support because they want the flexibility after graduation to be able to move in different directions depending upon what interests them, and they just don't want to be tied down.
Great. Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback on that really quick, there are a number of opportunities that often I think people don't even think about. Their career as they've gone on, sometimes that whatever they did in the military, scholarships may be tied to that command or that you know, that ship or things like that. There are scholarships out there that they may not even realize. You know, I worked on the Truman. Well, I bet, you know, the Truman may very well have scholarship opportunities that you didn't know about. There are some of the schools have very specific veteran related scholarships. We actually have one called the Veterans Assistance Fund, which is a completion scholarship if they've exhausted their VA benefits. And by the time they get to an MBA, they've probably exhausted their VA benefits if they've used it for their undergraduate degree. So it's just one of the things, and usually an easy search on the website of the school that you're going to. It's like, what do you have for veterans or military connected individuals? And just do some homework.
That's fantastic insight. Thank you. So Kristen, I have another question for you. Speaking of employers, do schools, or, you know, UMGC or schools broadly, have partnerships with companies that actively recruit veterans or a dedicated veteran recruiting track?
We've got a career services team, and they're really good. They're really good. They do work directly with employers. We have a number of events. We've got a virtual career fair that's held every year where just tons of employers are there. It's actually a really cool platform because the students can go from booth to booth and actively speak with a bunch of recruiters all in one platform. They can go to one booth and work on their resume, go to another booth and get elevator pitch help, and then go, okay, now I'm ready to go talk to General Dynamics or, Uber or Amazon or something like that. We've had some, it's just a really great opportunity to meet so many people in one. And it's facilitated by members of the university. So the career services team runs it, but they have staff that mans one of the booths that can answer any questions that come along the way. So it is a really great opportunity. Like I manned the military and veteran booth. And I there was one in a past year where I hosted a round table for military and veterans. Just so if they have these specific veteran questions, they can come in. We also have every year, and this is, we're not unusual in this. Most organizations have a huge employment fair or something. We host one called the MilVet Net, which is a military veteran networking session. And it's once a year and it's in the evening and it actually goes out to students across the DMV, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. It really just, it's not a UMGC event. We throw a wide blanket and say, any questions that you have. It is in person though, so you kind of got to be close by. But it's just a really great opportunity. And it is primarily geared towards military veterans, spouses, caregivers, entrepreneurs, anything with that military connected. So we've been working with the military for so long. It's kind of, we say it's in our DNA. The two other things that we have that really stick in my mind are one of the things that we do, it's called a Workshop Wednesday. And that is the first and third Wednesday of the month where we host employers, veteran service organizations, even internal components of our university where students might have questions. And the link is on our website. So it's open to everybody, but it's a 30-minute presentation of, hey, would you like to know about this employer and how they're hiring right now? And then it allows for about a 10-minute Q&A. And while we don't have an enormous amount of students that attend, we have a lot of staff that attend, and it's the staff that are talking to the students. So it's giving them all the content that they need that when that transitioning guy comes in, they can go, hey, I just heard about, and it's a really easy way of just getting the word out for these employers about opportunities. And then the other thing that we have that we work really closely with our career services team. So when they are reaching out to an employer and an employer says, hey, we're really interested in hiring veterans, they immediately contact our department and do a warm handoff and connect our department with this particular employer. And then we show them, here's the opportunities we have for you, such as the Workshop Wednesdays, the MilVet Net event, and things like that. So it is a really good relationship that we've built with our career services team that allows us to connect with those veteran students immediately.
Awesome. Tara, passing it over to you. Let's say an MBA felt like more than I was ready to commit to right now. Can you tell me a bit about alternative options and what are the pros and cons of each? So certifications, boot camps, etc.
Definitely. So this is right on point. It's a hot topic, and it's actually one of those debated questions in education right now. With programs like Grow with Google, certification, boot camps becoming even more popular, some people have been asking, will Google replace higher ed? And the question is, not really, because they are different. These are targeted, skills-based, short-term, where an MBA provides a more in-depth, long-term value. So they are different. The certifications, the badges, they all have their place. You know, they're great for a quick build, job-ready skills, especially in tech. You know, they give you those really quick picks in the tech to get you that credential, but it's not going to give you that broader leadership skill, the strategy, the decision making that you may need for those senior leadership roles that Brett was just talking about. So when it comes to the MBA is very different. You know, it gives you those critical cross-functional roles where you're leading the team, managing change. So those are the differences between the two. But what I would say is look at schools and look at what they offer. Because at UMGC, we don't actually make you choose. We do look at your practical skills. We look at your academic achievements. We provide credit for prior learning, for military rank, for professional certifications, and real world experience, which allows all of our students to complete their education faster and at a lower cost without potentially repeating items they already know or already did. We also embed digital credentials into our coursework so that they're also getting those at the exact same time and able to voice those skills on the job while they're doing those. So my biggest advice to students, or if you're exploring options, is explore an MBA and ask those questions. Can you maximize your value and your experience? Will you take credit for prior coursework? Will you take credit for military service, leadership roles, or professional training? Because that can also impact that cost piece that Brett also spoke about earlier. So I think adding all of those together are really important. So yes, there's value to badges, boot camps, Grow with Google. There's stepping stones where the MBA is still the gold standard for who you want to be when you want to lead, grow, and make those strategic decisions.
That's a great perspective. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see, Brett, we had touched on different MBA formats earlier, and I want to circle back on something there. Do you find that employers look at different types of MBAs differently, like full-time versus executive, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think one of the things to keep in mind is, generally speaking, at most MBA programs, whether you do full-time, part-time, executive MBA, you're graduating with the same degree. There may be some exceptions to that, but I think one of the most common misconceptions, particularly when people look at executive MBA programs, people somehow think it's a different degree. At Darden, for example, we have four formats of one MBA. So everybody's diploma says the same thing. Everybody's part of the same alumni network. That's generally true at most MBA programs. Now, what is different, though, is, as we talked about earlier, full-time MBA students will do an internship. An internship is not part of the career process for our part-time MBA and executive MBA students. Also, depending on where you are in your career, if you think about, you know, a lot of the roles that companies may be coming to grounds or coming to the campus to recruit for, those may not be well aligned with where you are in your career. You think about a company that's coming to recruit, typically they're thinking first and foremost about a student that might have the full-time MBA student profile, somewhere around 4 to maybe 5, 6 years of work experience on average. They're looking to hire for a large cohort, you know, 10, 15, 20 plus people coming in to work, maybe a leadership development type program, or coming in as post-MBA consulting type roles or tech, whatever the case may be. But they're really thinking about a student profile that looks a lot like the full-time MBA student. And so for some of our part-time MBA students and executive MBA students, that may be well aligned with where they are in their career. And for other folks, that may not necessarily be as well aligned. So at Darden specifically, our working professional students can participate in on-grounds recruiting in their final year of study when graduation is in view. This is for post-MBA kind of full-time roles. And so and that makes sense because any employer that's looking to hire you at that point will want you to have earned your MBA before you show up at work. We always tell students, don't put all your eggs in that basket. Most people in a working professional program are going to find their next role through an internship. Through a network-driven search, not an internship is what I meant to say. And that means sort of building relationships, using informational networking as a way to sort of explore what's out there, figuring out companies, industries that are of interest to you, and then leveraging those relationships as you're applying. That's a much more common tactic for working professional students who are looking to make a career transition. So I would say sort of a long-winded answer is saying there's a lot of nuance here. I think more often than not on the process end of things and how you find your next role. And then also from the employer standpoint, they might be interested in students from this program generally, but perhaps with a specific kind of profile that aligns well with the role that they're hiring for.
Great. Thank you so much for that. So we are unfortunately out of time for this panel, but thank you to everyone here for tuning in. If you'd like to contact Brett, Kristen, or Tara to hear more about their programs, please reach out through LinkedIn. We appreciate you giving back to those in our community interested in pursuing similar career paths. I'd like to remind you all that there are additional sessions throughout the day. To add any to your calendars or to attend them, please visit the event website at goo.gle/veterans2025 and click on the one that appeals most to you. Thank you again for watching. And to our veterans, thank you for your service.